Just get close to people when you're on a missions trip. If you've never been on a missions trip, I would encourage you to go because it's a great time. Well, this morning, I want to talk to you about something that's very close to my heart. There's a lot of people talking about revival today. And I heard a gentleman say, you know, he said, I'm getting really tired about hearing about revival. He says, I think we need to hear about repentance. And if you're in the kingdom of God or you've been in the church and for years, you realize that repentance is the beginning of revival. Without repentance, there's no change. But I started this week on a journey. Last Sunday morning in our church, our pastor did a dedication for children. And as he did the dedication, he had everybody come down front. So the whole front of the sanctuary is full of people. And he prayed for this child, for the family. And then he said, he turned to the congregation and he said, you know, some of you maybe have never been dedicated as a child. And he said, I want to pray over you this morning. And I had never seen anyone do that before. And so we went out with a couple after church and with him and his wife, and he's 87 years old. And at lunch, he began to cry. His name's Jim, and I said, Jim, what's going on? He goes, well, I was never dedicated as a child. He said, I had no relationship with my father. And he said, I've always had insecurity in my life, always. And then I talked to Pastor later in the week, and he said there were so many people that came down afterwards who said they had no relationship with their father and weren't dedicated as children. And I started to realize that if we really want to change America or change the nations, it starts with fathers. It really does. Because it has to start in home. Before there was a church, there was a family. Before there was a family, there was Adam. And he was to lead his family. And so the key, the missing piece of the puzzle, is fathers today. And I want to read you something. My father passed away in November of 2019. And at his funeral, this is what I read. My father was a man to follow. My father was a strong man that always had time to give me a hug when I was young. My father was a good provider but always had time to play catch with me in the backyard after supper. My father was a man's man but always displayed his love to my mother. My father was a kind man and always showed kindness and respect to his mother and his father. My father was a wise man and always shared with others the wisdom he had discovered. My father was a man of character, a man who saw what you saw in public was the same at home. My father was a gifted man who always had a song to sing and with a smile on his face brought heaven to earth and to others. My father was a loving man who before taking his last breath through a glance of his eyes showed his children how much he loved them. My father was a faithful man who is waiting and expecting his family on the other side. My father is the greatest example of a man that my heavenly father gave me to follow. Love you, Dad. That's what I read at my father's funeral. Before my father died, he was a gifted singer, and he was actually accepted in the Juilliard School of Music, but his parents said, how would you make money singing? So he joined the Navy, and so my dad recorded songs. He recorded hymns and love songs that he had sang through the years. And on my father's deathbed, he was ministering to himself in song. We played the songs in the room. It was very difficult for us children. But after the songs were over for a while, there was a point where Dad opened his eyes, and he looked at each one of us children very intently. And then the moment came where you could see his eyes look beyond us. And then a little while after that, he passed on. So he's in heaven waiting for me. But I've had an incredible father. Was not perfect, but he was an incredible father. Taught me many, many things. And I want to read you some scriptures this morning that show us the relationship Jesus had with his father and how we learn how to have a father-son relationship through what the Father and Jesus had here on earth. Let me read you a few of these. This is out of Matthew 3:17. And suddenly a voice came from heaven saying, "This is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased." That's the blessing of the Father. The Father saying, "This is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased." Look at Luke 9:35. A voice came out of the cloud saying, "This is my beloved Son, hear him." So again, he's saying, "This is my beloved Son." And it says, "Hear him." In Genesis 12:2, God blesses Abraham. I will make of you a great nation, and I will bless you and make your name great so that you will be a blessing. One of the things I've learned in my life, without my Father's blessing, I couldn't be a blesser. I'll say that again. You can't export what you don't import. You have to have your Father's blessing in order to be a blessing in other people's lives. There's some other scriptures I don't have up there, but I want to just remind you of them this morning if you're writing down notes. John 5:19. It's Jesus said, "I only do what I see my Father doing. I only do what I see my Father doing." That's John 5:19. John 8:28 says, "I only say what my Father has taught me." Now think about that in a natural context. My Father, I watched my Father. Not only what he said, but I watched his life. And then he taught me, and I say what my Father, I find myself quoting my Father, just like Jesus quoted his Father. So there's a relationship there that you can see. There's three components of this in the blessing. And they are identity, affirmation, and mission. Many young people today, they don't know their identity. Their fathers never blessed them, spoken to their life, spent time with them. And I'm going to talk about five aspects of imparting a blessing into your children's lives. But those three components are blessing, affirmation, and mission. Let me ask you a question. How many times a day do you need affirmation? We got that from our fathers. Now, let me encourage you this morning that if you didn't have a father, didn't have a relationship with a father, maybe your father was in the home, but it was not a functioning relationship. One of the greatest blessings in my life, other than my natural father, was spiritual fathers. Paul said, "You have 10,000 teachers, but few fathers." One of the things I think we're missing today is we have a lot of people who are downloading a lot of information into our lives, but we have no relationship. They're not fathers to us. I've had many men in my life, throughout my life, who were spiritual fathers to me and spoke into my life and declared things into my life, prophesied into my life, and brought out the gifting and the calling in my life. They draw it out. That's what spiritual fathers do. They help you fulfill your destiny. They speak into your life, every part of your life. And that's happened with me over many, many years. In fact, I was thinking this morning, one of the things that my father taught me, and I learned from other spiritual fathers I had, the importance of service. Some years ago, the mayor of Masson asked me to be chaplain of the city of Masson. And a couple pastors came to me and they said, "How did you get that position?" I said, "Well, I got that position because I served." They said, "What do you mean?" I said, "I went to the mayor of the city, said, how can I serve you? How can I help you?" She had some events. She needed me to pray. And so I was a person that she called to do prayer, and she asked me to be chaplain of the city. And so my father was in electronics, and he runs sound. And I saw him serve in every part of the church. My dad was not a preacher, but he was on the council of a church, and he had to preach at one point, and God helped him to do that. So my dad was always into serving others. And that, what I saw my father do, that's what I've done. But I want to encourage you, if you didn't have a relationship with your father, look for spiritual fathers. They're all around you. People that would speak into your life, who would love you and care for you. In fact, being in service to others actually got me an invitation to the White House. I actually had this in my on a shelf in my house. You say, well, what was that? I had a World War II veteran that was in Normandy. He was a ranger. And out of 170-some rangers that hit the cliffs at Normandy, at one of the beaches, he was 71 that lived. And during the Iraq and Afghan conflict, he would draw drawings of all the young men and women who lost their lives. And he came to me and said, can you help me? So I served him. He fought in World War II. I honored him. I served him. And I had an invitation to a Congressional Medal of Honor ceremony in the East Wing of the White House. And you say, well, how did I get to the East Wing of the White House? It wasn't by my great ability or gifting. It was by serving what my father had taught me, what he had taught me. Let's go to blessing. There's five key elements to create life, changing moments for your children. Five key elements that create life-changing moments for your children. Think about how best to communicate meaningful touch to your children. Meaningful touch to your children. Placing your hands on their heads or their shoulders. Consider holding their hand or looking them in the eyes. And let me say this, if you're a grandparent, one of the greatest blessings in my life now is being a grandfather. In fact, I told my girls at one point, I said, you know, if grandkids were this great, if I would have known this, I wouldn't have had kids. I would have went right to grandkids. But I said, grandkids are the fruit or the blessing of being parents. It really is. But my father would hold me. He would hug me. He would look into my eyes. My dad had no problem giving me affection. I remember as a little one, he'd hold me. My dad was strong, and he'd hold me up like this. I can remember him holding me up. I can remember the first time I was swimming, he'd say, jump into my arms, come on in the water. And I knew my dad was there. And just his touch, he would impart things into my life. We live in a culture today where there's a perverted touch God never intended. But God intended for us to touch people. And everywhere Jesus went, when he touched people, there was an impartation. That's how it is in the kingdom of God. There's power in the touch. When you give someone a hug, when you touch them with our children, our grandchildren, there's a blessing that's imparted through that. They remember that. It seals something in their lives. It seals something in their lives. The second one, blessing. A spoken message. Use your own words. Write down the blessing. There's people, spiritual fathers who have prophesied into my life. And I actually got the tape and I wrote it down. And it's come to pass in my life. When I was around 60 years old, I pastored in Masson for about 13 years. I was about 60 years old and my mother and father came to our church. And Dad called me one Sunday afternoon and he said, what are you doing? I said, well, I'm watching a Browns football game. I actually changed to the Steelers because I couldn't take the Browns anymore. Forgive me, you Browns fans. But Dad said, what are you doing? I said, I'm watching a football game. And he said, I just wanted to tell you something. I said, what, Dad? He goes, you're a great pastor. You really love people. When he said that, I don't know if you've ever seen on TV or you've ever dealt with cattle, when you took a branding iron and you brand the seal onto, you know, your ranch seal onto a cow or cattle. When he said that, something sealed in my life. Let me tell you something. When you pastor, a lot of people tell you stuff. Am I right, Pastor Ron? But when your dad tells you, Dad ain't blowing me no smoke. He was speaking from his heart. And that changed my life when Dad said that. Changed my life. Let me tell you the power of words. And many of you, you know, we're not in our 20s, we're not in our teens anymore, we're older. My mother had a father who was a very successful businessman. My mom's dad, who was my grandfather, wasn't touchy, he wouldn't hug you, wasn't that kind, he wouldn't kiss you. And so my mother, when he was in his 80s, he was passing away in a hospital. My mother called me from the hospital, and she said, she was crying, and I thought my grandfather had passed away. She said, no, he hasn't passed away. She said, but I need your help. She's crying over the phone. I said, Mom, what's the matter? She said, I'm telling your grandpa I love him, but he's not saying it back. 67 years old my mother was. A few days later, she called me. She was crying again. And I said, Mom, did grandpa pass away? She goes, no. He told me he loved me. 67 years old. And she heard the words, I love you. See, we as fathers, we as parents, we need to touch our kids. We need to convey love to them through our affectionate touch. We need to do it through words. And here was my mother, 67 years old. Like I told you about the gentleman we went out to dinner with following that dedication. Sir, 87 years old, and he said, I've never felt affirmed, and I've never felt qualified for anything. Amazing. The third thing. I'm only on two. Oh, I missed one, huh? All right, the third. Blessing. Attaching high value. Now, this isn't on my notes, but I thought about this. When you attach high value to someone, you spend time with them. So if we say, I love our kids, we spend time with them. And I'm not talking about a baseball game. You know, one of the things my dad did almost every night after supper, listen to this. I don't know if you remember this. I tell people that. I told a 25-year-old man this. I said, do you ever hear of the blue laws? He said, blue laws? What's blue laws? I said, well, when I grew up in the state of Ohio, nothing was open on Sunday. He said, what? I said, nothing was open on Sunday. He looked at me with this scared look on his face, and he said, what did you do? I said, well, we went to church on Sunday mornings. We went over to Grandma and Grandpa's house for dinner afterwards. Grandma would make some fried chicken, a salad. We'd sit around the table with my aunts and uncles, my grandma and grandpa, my cousins, and my grandparents would tell me about the Great Depression, what they went through, what they experienced in life. And I learned how to communicate around the table, talking to my parents, my grandparents, and my cousins. We would sit for hours and hear stories of my grandfather, who he lived in Olive Hill, Kentucky, and then Moorhead, Kentucky. Jumped the train, came up to Dayton. His brothers got jobs there. And then he came up to Ohio, into Canton. But what I'm trying to say is when you love someone, you spend time with that, and that shows value. So every night, Dad would take me out in the backyard. We'd throw the ball back and forth. And he'd hold his glove here, and he'd say, put it here, put it here. And Dad wasn't trying to make me a great baseball player. What he was doing is spending time with me, showing great value. Communicate your kids through word pictures. Think about your kids' gifting. Emphasize their talents, their characteristics, and their interests. Affirm their hopes and dreams. One of the greatest blessings I've had in my life over the last few years, my grandson came to live with us through his high school years. We had him for 4 years. And even when he was a little guy, I just had a picture in my mind. When we lived at one house, I would mow the grass, and my grandson had a little plastic lawnmower, and he'd follow me through the yard. I still have that picture. Now think about that for a minute. Here I am, a grandfather, mowing the grass, and my grandson wants to be with me, and he's following me through the yard, mowing the grass. There was another occasion I remember being outside, and I was mowing the grass, and he ran out. He was about 4 years old, maybe, and he ran out in the yard. Papaw, papaw. Turned the lawnmower off, got down on my knee, put my arm around him, and said, buddy, what do you want? I don't even remember what he wanted now. I talked to him. He ran back in the house. I turned the lawnmower on. A couple minutes later, my daughter ran out. She walked out. She didn't run out. She walked out. Dad, what was that about? I said, well, T wanted to talk to me, so I turned the lawnmower off. She goes, Dad, when we were kids and we ran out, you'd say, go back in the house when I get done mowing. I'll talk to you. She said, what's that about? I said, you know, after all these years, I realized the grass isn't that important. And if you're grandparents, you know what I'm talking about. This same grandson, his whole life wanted to be in the military. I knew that's where he was headed for because that's all he talked about. And I would affirm that. I would talk about his gifting and his abilities. So when he graduated from high school, as soon as he graduated, he went, joined the military. He joined the Army and got his MOS, which I wasn't too thrilled about. But that's what he wanted to do. I knew that what he was called to do. So after he had signed his name on the line with the MOS, he came down one evening, and I'm sure you can remember this, honey. He was crying profusely. And he said, Papa, what I signed up for, I could be killed. I said, look, all your life you've known you've been called to the military. All your life you wanted to serve. This is what you want to do, right? He said, yes. I said, God's hand is upon your life. Do not fear what you're fearing of losing your life. God will always be with you. And he has a spirit of discernment. And the MOS he picked is perfect for discernment because he has to discern the situation that he's in. So I was able to release into his life confidence, affirmation, blessing, and even mission like the Father did for Jesus. I was doing the same thing. So we affirmed their hopes and their future. We recognized their gifts. And we affirmed their gifts. We recognize them. That's what we do. The fourth is you bless them with a special future. One of the blessings we impart to our children is a special future. We provide security for assuring our children of God's plan for their future. We show that there's value for them. We show value for them both in the present and the future. Be specific with your hopes for their future. We need to reassure our children and speak into their lives. There's power in words. I can't tell you, and Pastor Ron could tell you the same thing. I can't tell you how many people I've had in my office through the years, men and women, that their father said, you'll never amount to anything. 60, 70 years old, and they still believe that. Because the power of the father's words in their life. I had a woman in my office one time who was struggling. She was depressed. She was dealing with a lot of issues in her life, and she came into my office one day, and she probably was 5'8", maybe 5'8", 110 pounds. She was crying, sitting across from me, saying, I'm fat. I said, you're fat? She said, yes. I had a mirror in my office, and I said, would you please stand in front of the mirror? I said, now look in the mirror and tell me you're fat. She began to cry even more, and she said, yes, I'm fat. I said, who told you you were fat? She said, my dad. He called me thunder thighs when I was a little girl. Now, more than likely, sometimes you say things to your kids, you do things without any evil intent, but that had stuck with her and affected her life. And I couldn't talk her out of that. Because that's what her daddy told her. That's what her daddy told her. So there's a special future that we need to speak in, the power of words. We need to speak into our children's lives and our grandchildren's lives. Look at number 5. Blessing, active commitment. Active commitment. After you give the blessing, check in with your child. Provide opportunities for your child to live out their blessing. Support their value and their future that you envision for your child. Remind them of how God loves them and will continue to support them. When I say this, you know, sometimes we think, well, you know, my son now, he's 30 years old. Don't underestimate the power Even if your son's 50 years old, 60 years old, and you're 80 years old, don't underestimate the power of speaking in and actively being committed to speaking to their lives and a part of their lives. I was 60 years old, and I've learned recently that the most successful years of your life are your 60s. You know why? Because you finally realize who you are, and you eliminate the things you don't need to do, and you concentrate on the things you're supposed to do. The second most effective years of your life are your 70s. I'm just turning 70 this year. Third most effective decade of your life is your 50s. So don't underestimate, even though your children are older, to speak into their lives, to impart into them. And you know, one of the greatest things that a father can do is say he's sorry. Come on, church. There is no perfect fathers. There is no perfect fathers. So admitting you've done wrong, asking for forgiveness, teaches your kids to forgive. One of the things I've learned through this is people are in church and they have unforgiveness towards their father. They're angry with their father. I was up at a treatment center recently this last week, and I talked about what I'm talking to you about. And I had about 12 guys come up afterwards. One man told me from the age of 14, his dad continually beat him. And I said, how are you doing with that rage? He looked at me, what do you mean? How do you know I have rage? I said, it isn't hard to figure out. If your own father beats you and belittles you, you have rage in your life. You need to forgive your father and put that rage out of your life. And I prayed with about 12 different men. But see, one of the things in the church we do, let me show you this morning, is we come into church and we got a coat on or a jacket and we look really well, don't we? But if you can see, my sleeves are all tore up. Let me show you the back of my shirt. There's a tire mark across the back of my shirt. One of the things, the older I get, is sometimes we leave the way we came in. We don't need more information. We need heart change. I wish I could have found a puzzle of a little boy. You know the toddler puzzles where there's only like 8 pieces? And you know they have little handles on them? And I thought, how many people have a empty spot right here? Because they're missing that piece that their father spoke into their life. And maybe they haven't had a spiritual father. And they're missing that. See, you always feel inadequate. You don't know what your mission is. You feel insecure. But I'm here to tell you today that the Father wants to place that back into you. And the beginning of that is forgiving. I call forgiveness, unforgiveness, the cancer of the church. Unforgiveness. Let me say this. I don't know that most of us realize this. Jesus said, I only do what I see my Father doing. I only say what my Father taught me. Do you realize that our natural fathers are the same way? That they only do those things what they saw their father do? My grandfather, I told you about, when he died, his brother was there. His name was Bud. And I said, Bud, what was your dad like? Now, I'm talking about my great-grandfather. Because my grandfather didn't hug, didn't touch, didn't tell you he loved you. In fact, I'll tell you what it was like. I only remember one time my whole life, my grandfather gave me a compliment on my mom's side. I cleaned a fish. And he said, you really did a good job. And I remember it because it shocked me. Because he always had another way to do it or to criticize whatever I did. So at my grandfather's funeral, I asked his brother, I said, what was your dad like? He said, oh, I said, was your dad affectionate? No. I said, did he tell you he loved you? No. I said, how did he show his love? He showed his love by working and providing for the family. That's the same thing my grandfather did. But the piece of the puzzle is, when you receive Christ into your life, it changes the direction of your life. And you start to understand the biblical principles that transform your life. So I'm here today to say, if you haven't had a father who's loved you and spoken into your life, the first thing you need to do is forgive him. The second thing you need to do is find a spiritual father to speak into your life. If you haven't had one, find one. Many of you maybe have one. But I believe this is a new beginning today. And like I say, I've seen so many people come to church. They look good. They smile. You know, Peggy and I did marriage ministry for a lot of years. You know, there's people come in the parking lot and they're arguing by the time they get to the parking lot. And then they come into the church and pastor goes, how are you doing? Oh, praise God, we're good today. And they were just in a big argument out in the parking lot. So I guess what I'm saying this morning is we need to be transparent. We need to be real. And if you're sitting here this morning like that guy that's 87 years old, he needed to forgive his father and move on with his life. Step past that. Step past that. So if you'd pray with me this morning, I'm going to lead you in a prayer this morning because there might be some here that haven't forgiven their father. So I'm going to lead you in a prayer this morning. If you just repeat after me, if you would. Father in heaven, we just thank you for the message today. Our fathers, many of them have disappointed us or been absent in our lives. And many of us have great fathers, but we've disappointed them. So we forgive our fathers today. And those that we have disappointed our fathers, forgive us, Father, for disappointing our fathers. So we just thank you for release today in our lives. Make us whole again. Let that piece of the puzzle be placed in our lives today to make us whole and sound, to fulfill the mission that you have for us. In Jesus' name.